thank you because our hearts are open. Thank you for the liberty that we have in Christ. Thank you for understanding his hearts. And thank you because your word is communicated with all simplicity. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. We are going to continue looking at supernatural everyday living. And if you've been following the series, we said that on Wednesdays we've been having another teaching, Fellowship of the Spirit, which is meant to be a companion to the teachings we are having on Sunday. And that means when you combine the two of them together, you will have certain areas where you may have questions answered. And that's why it's important for you to listen to the midweek teachings, because it will clarify. We're just coming at it from two separate angles so that we can have a holistic view of God's word. And hallelujah. All right, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, this is Paul praying for the church at Colossae. This is one of the few churches Paul had never physically been with them. He had never physically been with this particular church. So he was praying the same prayer he had prayed for the church at Ephesus for them. Those are spirit-inspired prayers, which is one of the things we focus on in our prayer meetings. Because let me say this, if the understanding of God's word dawns upon you, there are many things you're praying about that you will stop praying about. There are many things you're praying about now that you stop praying about. So one of the greatest benefits you can do for a believer is to pray that that believer will understand God's word. That means you see yourself the way God sees you, not the way the world sees you, the way God sees you. He sees you based on what he has accomplished. Then he sees you based on the deposits that is inside of you now. That deposit is veiled by the senses. It's spiritual in nature. And we are not naturally trained to appreciate spiritual things. So God's word is given to us so that we can appreciate spiritual realities. Hallelujah. You know, before Christ came, man is so used to appreciating what he can hear, he can see, he can feel and handle. But the most important things in the universe are not things you can touch, feel or handle. They are spiritual realities. That's so important for us to understand. It is the understanding of those realities that actually births boldness in your Christian walk. So the prayer is praying in verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since today we heard it. What did they hear? They heard about the love of the saints towards other saints, the head of their salvation. So Paul is praying a prayer. The prayer is a response to the fact that, oh, you guys have received Christ. What is the next thing? It says, since the way we cease not to pray for you, okay? That to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. When you hear about God's will, then don't leave the chapter. The will of God here is consistent with your salvation. The will of God is not one specific will that God has for you here. The will of God here is talks about when you were saved, what was in God's mind? What are you saved unto? What are you saved from? That's what he's talking about. That's what he's calling his will. He may fill with the exact, the Greek word is epignosis, exact knowledge, not an idea. Exact knowledge of his will. It says, in all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding. Or wisdom of the Spirit, revelation by the Spirit, which is you see yourself exactly the way God sees you. That's what he's saying. We do not cease to pray for you. Because as long as that prayer doesn't take effect in your life, you will think you received a religion. There's nothing wrong with religion. Religion just means an orderly way of doing things. But it's more than that. It's more than that. And that's why sometimes the message you heard when you got saved matters. That message becomes what drives you. What were you saved from? What were you called into? So most of us got saved without having a clue about those two things. What was I saved from? What was I called into? The same prayer in Ephesians, where Paul will use the phrase that you may know what is the hope of his calling. But yes, it says that you may fill with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what spiritual understanding. Then the next verse now says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all that is pleasing, being fruitful in what? Every good. Say, good works abound in me. Say, I'm full of good works. Yeah, I know it may not look like it, but you are. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? So from the source that is within you, good works naturally spring forth. You are not meant to fabricate them. You are not meant to create them. They are already there. They respond and come into expression in response to that prayer, the knowledge of his will. What was God thinking? How does he see me now? In our WhatsApp groups, we're looking at condemnation and accusation. And if you've been following, you will notice that one of the things we emphasize is the fact that if you don't know God's permanent disposition towards you, you will think God is, let me use this phrase, overlooking sin. He's not overlooking sin. No, he's not overlooking sin. If you overlooked sin, Jesus would not have needed to die. Hallelujah. God punished himself with our sins. Think about it. He's not overlooking. Okay, when you something, I'm not seeing. No, it's not that he's not seeing it. He cannot, because it has been punished and judged. Now that takes revelation, because it doesn't appeal to common sense. It's not common sense, it's spiritual reality. Say amen. Amen. So he says, the knowledge of his will, that you may walk worthy. So what informs your walk is the knowledge of God that you have. You are not walking based on what you will call natural human thinking or humanistic philosophies. You are now walking in the knowledge of his will, in what he has done. That's really important. So with that at the background, if that's the prayer that was prayed for you when you got saved, you understand that your walk will be different from the very beginning, because it will expose you to spiritual realities very early. And whatever you are exposed to through that prayer and you're practicing, you are able to continue. The supernatural will not be a struggle. The supernatural will not be something you're like, I hope God will come true. Hallelujah. You know, when I go for meetings and I tell people that we're going to have a great time, they think I'm trying to encourage them. It's good to pray for meetings, but it's also good for you to know that God is always ready. Say amen. God is ever. Say, God is always ready. He doesn't go on vacations. He's not in Jakarta right now holding crusade, even though he's there. He's here with us. Say, he's here with us. But he's with them in Jakarta too. Amen. He said, how can he be here with you at the same time? The knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. So that you will be delivered from this mindset that God comes and goes. That's what the mind struggles with. That's why prayer and discipline, this idea of God comes and goes. I'm going to church to meet God. No, 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 no. You are coming to church to find expression in the things of God, but you're not coming to meet him, because you were coming with him because he lives in you. Say, he lives in me. If I can get that consciousness on your inside as a believer, a number of things about your walk will change. Say, that you may walk worthy. What we are trying to do by moral instruction is meant to come by revelation and teaching. You may walk worthy. To walk worthy means that to walk in line, in tandem, to measure up. And it says that walk has to come by the knowledge of his will. You walk worthy. You measure up to the standard. You live in the reality of what has been done. That's what it's praying about. Glory to God. Same Colossians, look at chapter 3. Colossians. Notice the same book. Verse 23. Oh, no, verse 23. Okay, verse 17. Let us read together. One, two, go. Who is you? Who is you? Thank you. So let's begin. One, two, go. Whatsoever you do, in one word or the, can we say in speech and action? Can we say in speech and action? Can action also be conduct? Thank you. So, whatever you do in word or deed, do or in what? Giving to God and the Father by him. So, notice the phrase by him. Notice do all in the name. That includes cooking, somebody said. So, he's not saying that when you are mixing things in the kitchen, say, I mix this soup in the name of Jesus. No. Anyway, I do this in the name of Jesus. Now, raw application will work once you are in faith. And because I've seen cases where somebody was struggling with smoking. And minister told him, you know what? Every time you light up the cigarette, light it up. Say, I want to do this, smoke this cigarette to the glory of God. So the first time he felt awkward, but he smoked it. He was discouraged, but I'm still smoking. He said, just keep saying, I do this to the glory of Jesus. You know, to smoke is to pollute your body. How many of you know? Okay, someone said, Pastor, are you saying those who smoke won't go to heaven? No, no, you mean God get there faster. That's the problem. We're trying to slow you down. You are in a hurry. You understand? So, he says, just keep saying that. Then he kept saying it. Then suddenly one day, the cigarette stick would not cooperate. He wouldn't go towards his mouth. Because what he was saying was not consistent with the action. And he said, whatever you do, do all in word and deed. Do all what? In the name. In the name. The word name there doesn't mean mention Jesus. The word name means consistent with what his reputation stands for. The name of Jesus is what Jesus accomplished. You have been redeemed from cigarette stick. You were redeemed from alcohol. You were redeemed from immorality. You were redeemed from being bound to any substance. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name or consistent with his reputation. That's what he's saying. So the one young man tried to do that, then he noticed there was this motion in his physical body. The spirit had taken over. The same thing that used to appeal lost its appeal. You know, if you, through wrong association, start indulging certain bad habits, you started yourself. How you will know the flesh can be strong is when you notice that you can't stop by yourself. I mean, even know I'm talking about. I mean, you have a stick of cigarette that you just put. I mean, you're the one who buys it. And then, what's so terrible is that the doctors told you that you don't have much long to live. And then you still step out and the hurt to do it. You know, it looks like you are self-destruct. So it tells you this is demonic in nature. But the person stood, whatever you do in word and deed, do all. That means make sure it's consistent with the reputation of Christ. So before you abuse your wife, do all in word and deed. You understand? So if this insult consistent with the reputation of Jesus. You can say you are a fool in Jesus' name. No, that's not consistent with it. So he said, do all in the name, which is consistent with the reputation. He's telling there's power in what he has done. But you cannot physically see what he has done, but you can feel the effect of what he has done through your words. So he says, in word and deed, it is a believer measures out God's power into his experiences by his words. A believer measures out the power of God into his experiences by his words. The deepest of God's power within you can be communicated via words. So words are important in living this life. Very important. It says in word and deed, in conduct. So it's a deliberate act on your part. Hallelujah. Now, we started this teaching to show something. If you don't live a supernatural life, it won't be because God hasn't done what needs to be done. It will be because you are not walking worthy. Not walking worthy is a function of knowledge. Knowledge that you are not aware of, or the one that you purposely ignored. So you have to make a choice. Go to Matthew 28 again, which has been our text. 28 from verse 18. I want you to see what he said, because the more we come to understand what the gospel is, we will not tell people how to escape hell. Salvation is far more than that. Far more than that. See what it says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, the word power is the word authority, is given unto me where? In heaven and in earth. Next verse. Go ye therefore, because of this reality. So I just communicated to you a reality, all authority. So, like I said, if you're reading that in English, you don't know the import of that statement. All power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. That is a serious statement. That is a statement Jesus could not make until he rose from the dead. So, we say that the resurrection of Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of God. Everything God spoke by the prophets could not come into manifestation of fulfillment until Jesus rose from the dead. So the trigger, the fulfillment, the stamp of approval for God's word to come into fulfillment is the resurrection of Jesus. So Matthew 28 here is Jesus coming First of all, physically to appear to let them know what is he communicating to them. When his own authority is given unto me in heaven and heart, he is telling them the word has worked. The scripture is fulfilled. The promises are a reality. Prophecy has come to pass. Heaven and earth have kissed each other. I'm looking for the best way to communicate to you. Because when you see heaven and earth there, like I showed you in the book of Genesis, he's talking to you about God's original intent. God's intent was never that heaven should be separated on earth. Now, in the writings of Moses, I've told you, heaven is imagery, is used as an imagery, figure of speech to represent God, and earth representing man. So in Genesis 1, you know, it bears repetition because people keep joining us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the beginning. And the earth was without form. How will you know that he's not talking about the physical firmaments? You will know because after he said that, from verse 4, he now started describing physical creation. How many of you remember that? How many of you accept that? So from verse 4, he starts talking about the sun, the moon, from verse 5. But before that, it just seems to tell you God created the heaven and earth. So the first heaven and earth he mentions there has nothing to do with physical creation. That's God's intent. That's the logos of God. That's God's original plan. He created the heaven and earth. Then he said, this is the reason why the heart was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters, or the Spirit of God is seeking access to the hearts of men. How was the access made possible? God said, let there be what? Light. And the epistles now teach us the God that commanded light shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of what? The glory of God in the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. I mean, remember that in this series? Thank you. So, the epistles are an explanation of that reality. He's telling you that when you're reading Genesis 1, while the story of creation is there, it's beyond the story of creation. It's the revelation of Christ woven into the scriptures when you read it. So that was God's plan. Did it come to pass in Genesis? No. Then it was presented to the patriarchs as a promise. Heaven and earth will come together. So John's Gospel chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1. From verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was... Does that make sense logically? You know, you like to think about this way. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. So you want to stop at the Word was with God. So God is holding the Word. That seems to make sense. Until now says, and the Word is God. So who is holding who? Hallelujah. Who is holding who now? You know, when you say that, the Word was with God. So when you change it to what was originally written, it begins to make sense. The Word, there is what logos, intent. The intent was with God. But here's the issue. The intent is God himself. Hallelujah. When you receive eternal life, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, John chapter 3 verse 16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Perish, but shall have. The question you need to ask is, what is everlasting life? Sorry, that's not the question. Who is everlasting life? God didn't give you life. He gave you himself. He is everlasting life. So when you are thinking that I receive everlasting life and is separate from God, it's because you don't know that in him was life. The life is light of men. He is the life. He doesn't give you life separate from himself. By giving himself, he has given you what? Life. That is heaven and earth coming together. So when Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, he is telling you the scriptures have been fulfilled. The word has worked. What was a promise? What was a prophecy? Has come into expression. That's what he means. So going into what you want and teach, he is telling you what you should say. Don't tell them I brought a religion. That was never the plan from Genesis. You know, when you hear about on the seventh day God rested in Genesis, do you notice that from Noah to Enoch to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them, none of them practice Sabbath day? Because it's not a day. It's Moses that gave it as a day. It's a description. Look at Genesis 2:1. We'll come back to it. John's Gospel chapter 1. Genesis 2:1. How many of you know that the original scriptures were not written in chapters and verses? How many of you know that? Okay, so how many of you know why they were written in chapters and verses? By translator. How many of you know? For what? Thank you. For reference. So easy reference. In fact, according to the scriptures that we read, I think in the book of Acts chapter 13, it was Paul's utterance that made us realize that only the book of Psalms were in chapters. So Paul said that according to the second Psalm. So we know the book of Acts was in chapters. Because there were songs. So you like song 1, song 2, song 3. That's like the book of Acts. But every other book, they wrote it in such a way, it's a continuous thought. How many of you write a letter to your loved one, say chapter 1? It's a thought. You want to explain something. So at best, you can have paragraphs. How many of you know that? So thank you. So from chapter 1 of Genesis to chapter 2, you can find out how a thought continues and know whether the translators missed it in their chapterizing. For instance, if you read from chapter 1, read it to chapter 2, you will discover that chapter 1 properly should have stopped at verse 3 of chapter 2. Look at what it says in the first 3 verses. See what it says. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Look at the next verse. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested where? On the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day, and what? Set it apart. Because in it he had what? Rested from all his work, which God what? How many of you feel God needs to rest? Okay, so in case you doubt, or in case you are wondering, maybe you can get tired. Isaiah tells you in Isaiah chapter 40, have you not heard? Have you not known that the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Isaiah 40 verse 29. I think you should put it up, please. So you won't think I'm just fabricating it. Isaiah, verse 28. Have you not known, have you not what heard? That the one everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary. There is no what? Searching of his what? Understanding. What does he do? He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Can you see that? So Isaiah is saying this by the Spirit. So whatever Moses wrote about when he said rest is not physical rest from labor. He's still talking revelation. Let me explain. In the day that heaven and earth come together, where man becomes God's tabernacle, in that day God rests. Because that is the day he finishes his work. How many of you understand that? Don't raise your hand. It's obvious you don't. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Our teaching on understanding righteousness. How many of you remember that teaching? You didn't see why you would think you heard everything. You didn't hear everything. I explained some of those things in understanding righteousness earlier in the year. How many of you remember that teaching? Understanding righteousness. Okay. So I want to appeal to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Please go back to that teaching to understand some things. We're saying some things again on Wednesday that will throw more light on this. Notice what he's saying. I told you at the beginning, when he spoke about Genesis, in chapter 1 of Genesis, the first 3 verses, nothing like physical creation was in existence. So it couldn't be referring to physical creation. Let me ask you a question also. That verse 2 says that, and the heart was dark from a void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the earth. And then God said, let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen spirit before? I'm not talking about an Hollywood movie, though. You have seen spirit before. Who is giving the narrative? Moses. And this is the Spirit of God moved all the face of the waters. How do you see the movement of a spirit? Let me ask you. No, just think. How do you see a spirit move? Can you hear a spirit? Can you hear a spirit? But can you see a spirit? Thank you. So is it safe to say, when I say spirit move, I'm referring to what the Spirit said? How many of you agree with that? Is it possible? Good. So, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said at the same thing. The movement on the face of the water, and God said, is the same thing. He's just using imagery to describe it. Let me say it again. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water, and God said, is spirit moving? Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Are you really with me this morning? Hallelujah. Should I back up a little bit? Are you with me? If you are with me, let me see your hand. If you are with me. No, some people did not raise their hand. So it's obvious you are not with me. So let us now come together. All right. Genesis 1:1 again. In the beginning, God what? created the heavens and the heart was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Are we in agreement so far? And the Spirit of God moved over the one face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Next verse. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Notice what light and what darkness. Next verse, verse 5. Then God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Next verse. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Next verse. God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And so it was. What is that? Creating the physical firmament and the physical earth. Look at next verse. And God called the firmament heaven. Wait. Why is he calling it heaven? But he spoke about heaven in the previous verse. Are you following? So, are there two different heavens? Yes. The first heaven is spiritual in nature. This is the physical one you can now see. The cloud and the skies. How many of you agree so far? Next verse. Next verse. Let's go on. Next verse. And God called the firmament heaven. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear. So, this is how dry land appeared. Was there any land before? So, was he talking about physical place for a spiritual reality? Spiritual reality. Next verse. God called the dry earth, but he spoke about earth before. So, which earth is in verse 2? Are you following now? So, there are two stories woven together. There's physical creation, there's spiritual revelation. Being communicated side by side, you now read to separate them. How many of you understand so far? You understand so far now? So, this is earth. So, is Genesis about creation of the earth? Yes. Is it about the gospel? Yes. So, I use what you know about the creation of the earth to communicate the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, man. So, notice he has spoken about light and darkness. And as of this time, there is no sun or moon. If there is no sun, will there be light on the earth? Will there be night? So, the first light he was talking about, is it sun and moon? It can't be. Because sun and moon is yet to be created here. Hallelujah. Are you following? So, I'm letting you see that there is a physical creation, then there's physical reality. So, let me put it this way. The physical creation is meant to reflect a spiritual reality. If light enters the heart of man, man becomes a new creation. Heaven and earth has what? Come together. But you see a sun in the heavens, giving light to where? The earth. He now uses that picture to let you see that is the same way the heart of man is. Without the light of Christ, there's darkness. How many of you understand what I can say that? If you don't see sun outside, will you be able to see outside like this? How many of you have experienced eclipse before in your lifetime? Eclipse. Okay. How dark was it? Okay. So you understand what must have happened in Egypt. When it says darkness that you can cut with a knife. There was absolute darkness. So, if the sun gives light upon the earth, an eclipse of the sun for just a few hours, you will not see your nose. Except you have touched light. It's telling you, without that light, the earth doesn't have any form of illumination. It's now telling you, without the light of Christ, the heart of man is in darkness. How many of you understand so far? Can you see that now? That is why I wove the story together. But don't mistake the two of them for each other. So when he's now talking, he now tells you on the seventh day, God rested. The seventh day is the end of a business week. When you finish whatever you did for that week before you start another week, isn't it? So he's using a natural illustration to communicate his spirituality. God rested from what? That should let you know the rest can be what? A physical rest. So go back to Genesis 2 now. Are we together so far? Are you getting something? Okay, so. Does heaven and earth were finished, and all the host of them, next verse, remember, he's weaving them together. So you read and separate. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and set it apart, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God what created and made. Can you see that? So how many things did God make in chapter 1? There's a spiritual part. There's a what? Physical part. We know God can be tired from physical exertion. In any physical is weary. There's no sacking of the what? Understanding. So if you apply that to the rest that belongs to us now in Christ, what will you find? The day that heaven comes into the earth, that is the rest of God. We which have believed have entered into what? What does it mean to believe? What happened to you on the day you believed? What happened on the day you believed? Christ came where? Into your heart. Let me put it this way. The rest of God is the rest of man. Hallelujah. Are you together? Now, so let me ask you a question. If a man is working miracles, who is working miracles? Who is working miracles? Who are you seeing? Okay. How is a man working miracles? How is a man working miracles? How is a man working miracles? By God. Who is working miracles? Who is working miracles? God. How is God working miracles? Through the man. How is man working miracles? By God. So, can you see there's a union that you cannot separate? When God wants to work miracles, how does he work it? Through men. When men want to work miracles, how do they work it? By God. Are you following? So when you say God is working, who are you really seeing working? Man. And when you say man is working, who are you really seeing working? God. It's called rest. God is not struggling, man is not struggling. So all of God's omnipotence is made available to man. Man doesn't need to struggle to produce omnipotence. It has been given. God doesn't try to force it in the expression of the physical. He has put it inside man. Are you following so far? Matthew 28. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a supernatural being. Say, God lives in me. Say, take a good look at me. The word has worked. Hallelujah. The word has worked. So, all authority is given unto me. Never. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What should you teach them? Teach them that all authority is given unto me where? In heaven and earth. What is the authority? God has come to live inside of man. How about you tell them? Look at the next last verse. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever what I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you. That's not English. Sorry. That is Jesus personalizing the words that God used to introduce himself in the Old Testament. He told Moses, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. And what I will be is I will become a man in order to save man. So the first time heaven and earth came together was when God became a man in chapter 1 of John. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. It says, of his fullness we have all received from grace to grace. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, he has come to what? Reveal him or to explain him. So when Jesus said this there, true resurrection, man has become God's son. God is now living inside of man. That is God's plan of salvation. It's not man's plan, it's God's plan. Exodus 29, look at Exodus 29. Let's look at two scriptures that affirm this. Exodus 29, verse 45. See what God spoke in Exodus 29. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will what? Be their God. Ezekiel 36. Do your best to write the scriptures down. Ezekiel 36 from verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Next verse. And a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put where? Within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you an heart of flesh. Next verse. I will put my what? You remember, God is a spirit, and they that worship him shall worship him how? A spirit and a truth. Now, when you're reading, and your reading is not consistent with what he has been saying, here's what you think. I'll put my spirit. I am here. My spirit will be in you. And Jesus told you God is a spirit. So, I'll put my spirit in you. Is I'll put myself where? In you. Are you following so far? Let me say it again. When God says I'll put my spirit, it's not that he is separate from his spirit. I'll put my spirit. I'll put myself where? In you. Say God is a spirit. Yeah. That's what he's saying. I put my spirit in you. So prophecy has been fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 6. Let's read from verse 12. Verse 14. Because of time. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? Next verse. What concord has Christ with? That's what concord is, almost same word as agreement. With Christ with Belial. What part has he that believes in what? An infidel. Next verse. What agreement does the temple of God have with idols? Say, I'm the temple of God. I don't have any agreement with idols. Look at the terminologies that were used to address you. You are Christ. You are righteousness. You are God's temple. Think about it. Is it say you are righteous or you are righteousness? What does righteousness? You are light. Not that you have light. You are light. Learn to stay with scriptural terms. Say, I'm light. He didn't call. He didn't say you have light. Say, you are light. You are temple. You are righteousness. That's what he's calling you. And this is by the Spirit of God. And the one who does the work ought to know what he did. Amen. Is this your righteousness? See what it says. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? Say, I'm communion. That's fellowship with God. What concord has Christ? Say, I'm. He calls you Christ. He calls you Christ. What more do you need? See what it says now. What part is it that believeth or the believing one with an infidel? Next verse. What agreement does the temple of God have with that? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. So this was a prophecy that has now come to pass. It was a prophecy. When he said it, this was a plan. I will dwell where? Where will I dwell? I will walk where? Notice what there is now. I will walk in. I will be their God. They shall be my people. That's a statement of what he will accomplish. So let me say it again. God doesn't just dwell with you. It dwells where? In you. That's why you have to get rid of the mindset that has this thing of, I'm going to go and meet God. From where? That's exactly what he tried to eliminate in the resurrection of Jesus. That was what that woman by the well of Samaria was talking to Jesus about. That Samaritan woman. Our fathers worship in this mountain. You say in Jerusalem men ought to worship. Jesus said, the hour cometh and now is. You shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship God. It's not a location. He wants to be in you. That's the plan of God. As that plan come to pass, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. What's that authority? God lives in you now. God dwells in you now. So when you are going, now imagine if a fraction of this understanding dwells inside of you. You will speak differently. You will see differently. You will act differently. You will. You will. It will be a living consciousness. That's why you ought to feed regularly on this truth. See, your Christianity will be traditional all your days, except you learn to live in the reality of the scriptures. How? You feed on it regularly, not once a week. Nobody captures the truth of the scriptures by reading it once a week. None of you will be looking the way you are looking if you eat only once a week. We know. From there, we'll be asking you, Sister Kenny, hope all is well. When we say that, it's because we can tell all is not well. Today is Sunday. The last time you heard was last Sunday. Physically. You can imagine. Even if you say we are fasting, when you come to church, pastors will advise you, sister, the problem is not that bad. Stop fasting. We do the praying for you. It's okay. So imagine if you eat only once a week, physically, how will you be looking? Even if you are using kokoshin, you know, your skin will not shine. We will know. Something is wrong. Now imagine the nature, the life, that invisible man of the arts being fed once a week. And that's not even full feeding, partial feeding. Because when you hear, it has been proven scientifically, you only hear like about, let's say, maybe less than 10% of what is spoken, what is taught. So there has to be a process where you expose yourself again and again and again. It has to be a process. You expose yourself again and again and again. You don't hear these realities and it sticks once. No. You have to keep hearing them. How do you know you're changing? It changes. It shows in your conduct. It shows in your speech. What you're saying unconsciously when you're dealing with friends and relations, those are the things that let you know how you're growing, whether this thing is actually having a hold on you. That's what happens. You stay with this truth. If you're the kind of person that gets easily hungry, you fight at bus stops. I pray you're not in this church. Amen. But the way that abuses conductors. Like a pastor told me that that on the queue, they were queuing for food. People were queuing for food, and someone was told him about the leader in his church. That they just had the guy, they didn't know he was online, they heard his voice. He was raking because of meat pie. Was just raking, just raking. It's is that not Brother Tally? It's meat pie that caused offense. Meat pie. They heard his voice. That's how they knew he was even on the line. Fruit of the spirit, absent. Meat pie. When we have to come and resolve issues that are inconsistent with your nature because you've not been feeding on the reality of who you are, it takes consistent feeding. See, why do you have people saying things like, I will show you who I really am? Who do you want to show? What are you about to show? You're about to show falsehood, something not consistent with who you are. It shows what you've been feeding on. And so I beg you in the name of the Lord, please don't live your life by horoscope. Please. You are not Cancer. You are not Taurus. You are the temple of the living God. Please, you are not choleric. You are not melancholic. You are gentle, peaceful, forbearing, good, temperate, lovely, faithful. You are not sanguine. Please, stop allowing human labels. You know, somebody said, Pastor, but I want to go and check the horoscope. What they even said is even true. They said the way I was feeling. You are not your feeling. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is men that created those things. Say you are Scorpio. You Scorpio. How? A new creation in Christ. You have eternal life. You are Scorpio. When you become Scorpio, or Taurus, bull. Something's wrong with that kind of. You see, that's how you. They are sneaking into your space. And you're allowing them. You're allowing them. That's what's happening. Because you are not feeding like you should on the reality of who you really are. How does God see you? I will live in them. I will dwell in them. Guess what? I will walk in them. Say, He's walking in me now. God walks in me. He walks through me. I am the abode of the living God. I'm the shrine of the Most High. The Word has walked. The Word has walked. The Word has walked. That's how to speak. Nobody accidentally walks in supernatural. Everybody that does, they do it deliberately. I heard of a robot. It was Dr. Kenneth Copeland. I was testifying about a robot. He said, when he's about to have his crusade, he said he will stay in Mark chapter 16. Those few verses. He will meditate. He will confess and declare. He said, when he's going for the crusade, nobody touches him. He said, you will literally hear his bones cracking under the influence of God's power. Why did that thing manifest that way? A man's consciousness is saturated. He's seeing the Christ's hands through his hands. He's seeing Christ speak through him. He cannot see any sick that will not be healed. He's saying things like, I raised the dead. I healed the sick. You know, some believers are even afraid to say, I healed the sick. And no, it's not me, it's Jesus, we know. That's why I came to live inside of you. Because you are the Jesus that they are meant to see now. Heal the sick first. And when they are praying, say, all glory to God. Wait. Not before. Heal first. Be like Peter. Look on us. Look on us. Silver and gold have I not. But such as I have it. I carry it everywhere. I'm not consulting God. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand upright on your feet. As a believer. Hallelujah. As a believer. That's how you act. But these hands have only been laying hold of food. And phone. And TV remote. A supernatural hand. Only laying on TV remote and food. Chicken. That we have been laying hold of. You have not laid out on any. You can't remember the last time you tried to get anybody healed. You know what your problem is? Me? Am I a pastor? Did you see pastor name written there? They shall lay hands on the sick. This sign shall follow the believing ones. So if you are reading that scripture now, you read it in light of what we just read. If God lives in you, you are a believing one. Because He lives in you, your hands transmit power. They transmit life. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. Hallelujah. When you see a madman, pray for the madman. What is it? Eh? You see the issue? You've never practiced who you are. But if at home you've been feeding, and let me say this, you can't feed on these realities. You won't find yourself muttering them. Oh, I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I can never be stuck. I can't be stranded. I have divine assistance. Wherever I am, the favor of God settles there. Everything becomes possible when I step in. You are confessing because you are the temple. What association does light have with darkness? I am light. Darkness flees when I come in. That's how a believer speaks. That's how to activate the supernatural consistently. So I won't be a visitor unto you. The last time you saw the supernatural was during camp. Sorry, I said camp meeting. Was during Holy Ghost meeting. So that means until January again, God forbid. This week in the name of Jesus. This week in the name of Jesus. Your hands heal the sick. The lost are saved through you. The dead are raised through you. You know, you won't do much preaching when you raise the dead. They will listen. It's not the same, Pastor. They don't want to listen to me because they say I'm wearing, I'm using makeup. Forget makeup. Raise the dead. They will forget makeup. After you raise the dead, with your ability, sister, welcome. Come and sit down. I'm telling you, they forget makeup. Makeup. No. You show power. Everybody forgets your appearance. They will not be angry with your jeans. After I say, you are angry with women wearing trousers. Say, I wasn't here. I can't. No. Raise the dead. They say, I want to share the gospel. They will sit down. That's what you do. Walk in power. Walk in power. Glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. Don't act like a victim. Act like who you really are. A victorious one in Christ Jesus. Go and teach. Say, Lord, behold, see it. I am is with you. I am is now in you. To the end of the ages. I'm with you all the time. I don't go on vacation. So you feed on the truths. Then you begin to declare the truths. Then you spend copious time praying in the spirit. That's why, though we have dedicated times and we pray in the spirit, a believer should have praying in tongues as a daily exercise. When you're doing things that doesn't involve your mouth, it will keep you away from gossip. Pray in tongues. Let your mouth be moving. Let it be a continual fellowship. It's a fellowship of spiritual realities. It will make you aware of the power of God at work in you. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can what? Ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh where? In us. So everything God does, he does it according to what? The power that worketh where? In us. Say the power works in me. Say there's tremendous power working in me. Life-giving power is at work in me. Dead raising power is at work in me. Miracle working power is at work in me. Healing the sick power is at work in me. As power that's at work in you, like a dynamo, is on your inside. How do you activate it? With words. With words and in prayer. If you're praying in tongues, you are praying in the realm where that power operates. That's what you're doing. And what tongues does that? It makes you conscious of that unseen realm. So that infuse your consciousness. That's how thoughts arise. That's how boldness comes. That's how you easily hear the instructions that God has for you. That's when you hear things like, go and meet that person, walk up to that person. Tell the person so and so. It's because you are functioning in the realm of God. So when you are praying in tongues, let me put it this way, in a natural way. You are giving God attention. You are giving God attention when you are praying in tongues. Imagine if the only time you want to give God attention is when you wake up in the morning, when you're going to bed at night. No. When you're doing things that doesn't necessarily involve your speaking to people, let your mouth put you in a place where you are constantly fellowshipping with God. You don't have to have a prayer point. One of the most damaging things about prayer in our days is people that tell you you need to pray because something happened. Pray so that something will not happen. Prayer is never a response to something that happens. It's a lifestyle for a believer. Hallelujah. That's one of the things that's killing people when it comes to our churches now. We call for a prayer meeting. In a church of 200 people, you see 50 people show up. You call for another meeting, also prayer meeting. You put that injunction, slaying your Goliath. A church of 200 has 500 people show up because they are seen slaying Goliath. You see, an afflicted mindset. He wasn't thinking Goliath before until he put the sign outside.
Slaying your Goliath. Yes, it's true. I have Goliath in my life. Let me go there. That's how they judge people. Slaying your Goliath. Because you saw the sign. Slaying. They even, very graphic picture. You see David like this. You now come for the meeting. That's the problem. But come and pray. Let's edify ourselves. Let's pray at the will of God. Which one is prayer at the will of God? Is it the issue? Because you don't know what it means to be a Christian. You want to apply God to emergency situations. Only when there's emergency, prayer is your tool that you hide in closet. When there's emergency, Pastor, I need prayer. I need prayer, Pastor, I need prayer. We know you don't need prayer. You need sense. First need sense. Because you have put prayer in the closet that when you want to, that's the problem. If you have been praying and fellowshipping, wisdom will have arisen on your inside. Christ, who is your wisdom, will have given you instructions and clarity. You will have known what to do. You will have known what to do. People that have this consciousness, you won't find them murmuring or grumbling. You won't. That's why, you know, it's not difficult to see where there's so much calamity in the environment. It's not difficult. Have you ever, even if you have a vehicle, sometimes don't take your personal vehicle, but a commercial vehicle. Sit at the back, if possible. And just say nothing, just listen. If the trip is long for 1 hour 30 minutes, you'll be shocked at what you will hear. Destructive things come out of the mouth of men. And spirits follow words. Somebody is complaining about how all men are terrible. Men are bad. Very terrible. I feel like saying, including your father. You can't just talk carelessly. You have a negative experience, you generalize. He says, all women are prostitutes. That thing, I don't know what it does to me. My screen recoils. When I hear it in the marketplace, I won't mention the market. Men of a particular tribe, they like saying it. Very terrible summation. You are releasing vicious words, vile words, and spirits follow words. The way people are dying in this country, all of us will be finished. Who is all of us? You hear words that are so filled with bile and negativity. And those things empower demonic spirits. You now wonder why calamity is all over the place. You will never hear anybody say, you know, my day has been wonderful. This year is going to be great. You won't hear. In fact, need you say that you just be saying, it's okay, me. So as we're saying, in fact, I'm telling you, in fact, everything, my business went down this year. Next year must be good. Which one is next year will be good? You already told us the conclusion. The year has not finished. You say your business went down. The year has not finished. So you finish the year by yourself. Not say my business, will not work. The first one canceled it. So the issue is that you are so used to negativity. How many of you have seen newspapers that sell a lot when there's positive news? Have you seen anything like that? So newspapers even sell on what? Negative news. So you hear all around you, people releasing things. And that's why you need to guard your heart with all what? Diligence. How do you do that? Create your own atmosphere. Before you step out. Before you confront men. Let the atmosphere be all around you. I am of God. I've overcome them. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. I'm of God. 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 You say it until you are convinced. I am of God. If you believe you're of God, you never say, oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy. No, you are of God. That means you come from mercy. You produce causes from faithfulness. You dwell in compassion. You dwell in safety. Protection is yours. No one is more protected than you are. You are heavily surrounded. That's who you are. You are impenetrable. You have a holy defense around you at all times. You are of God. You are not of the world. You are of God. Nothing happens to you by accident. Everything works together for your good. You are of God. You hail from God. You proceed from God. That's your meditation and your confession. Hallelujah. That's what you ought to be conscious of. I am of God. And I'm a creation and a product of God. God lives in this man. God dwells in this man. God walks through this man. God is alive in this man. You know, one of my strongest confessions in life is this. In my 90s, I've been walking without a stick. I'll be walking strong, standing ramrod erect, preaching the gospel, winning the lost, saving souls, blessing men, edifying lives. Having Holy Ghost meetings, rejoicing in Christ Jesus. I am not seeing any future where you say, Baba, let us help you. When you say, no. They will say that, you know, that man that you're seeing here, 60 years ago, I was in his Holy Ghost meeting. Is he doing the same thing now? Is he rejoicing now? Is he teaching the saints now? You say because you are seeing it. And I'm saying it by the Spirit of God. I will never fall. I will never fail. I will never be stranded. I will never be confused. God's wisdom. When I step out in a venture, I succeed in all my endeavors because I have divine wisdom backing me up. I cannot fail. I cannot fall. My kind knows no failure. You say it regularly and consistently. How can you accept failure? No. Let God be true. Let God be true. Let God be true. Every experience contrary to the scriptures a lie. God lives in me. The yes and amen is in me now. There is an amen to all that I do. All that I do is consistent with the victory of Christ. I manifest Christ everywhere I go. This one heals the sick. This one raises the dead. This one casts out devils. This one is different from the others. This one, the devil has no answer to this one. This one is God's wisdom on two legs. Christ is magnified through me in life. It's magnified through me in conduct. It's magnified through me in all my activities. Christ is magnified through me. I will never take no for an answer. I will never give in. I will never give up. Because greater is he that is in me. The greater one on my inside puts me over in all affairs of life. I will never be down again in my life. My down days are forever over. I'm just beginning. I'm counting the days. I'm counting the months. I'm seeing new seasons. I'm seeing new things pop up. Everywhere I go, I see God's glory and God's grace wrapped up in all my affairs. That's who I am. That's what I am. I will never cave in or give in or give up. I stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's who I am. That's what he has done. I succeed in all my endeavors. I am a success already. I am of God. I am of God. This one has no fear. Perfect love of God within me. It casts out fear. I'm not anxious. I'm confident. I'm settled. I'm assured. I'm been satisfied with every good thing. I know who I am now. I stand in the light of what he has done. What he has done gives me boldness. I'm confident in all my affairs. This is not guesswork. This is the work of God. I'm the handiwork of God, created in Christ Jesus unto every good work. I'm complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. I am complete in him. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. I am complete in him. I am complete in him. Nothing missing, nothing broken. My prayers are efficacious. My prayers are effective. When I pray, I see results. When I pray, I see answers. When I pray, I see supernatural turnaround. When I pray, men are blessed. When I pray, lives are changed. When I pray, situations are halted. When I pray, I am that righteous man. And the effectual fervent prayer of this righteous man makes tremendous power of God available. When I pray, I see tremendous power in operation. When I pray, I see things all around. When I pray, I see Christ glorified in the lives of men. My prayer life is on the upright. My prayer life is on the upright. I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray yet more. I study much more. I pray much more. I see life change. I see the will of God done upon the heart. I am God's temple. I am God's tabernacle upon the heart. Nothing fails in my hand. Nothing fails in my hand. Things work in my hands. I come from the life giver. The life giver is on my inside. He walks this heart in and through me. I am bold. I am bold in the Holy One who loved me and gave himself for me. I am bold in him. I am bold in him today. I am confident in him today. I'm not shying away. My dreams are alive in him. I am in his hand. There is no cutting short of my expectation. I am in his hand. There's no cutting short of my expectation. I am in his hand. There's no cutting short of my expectation. I am confident in the reality of all he has done. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you. We thank you. My outreach meetings, they take on a new dimension. My teaching ministry, it takes on a new dimension. Christ is hard without clarity. My healing ministry, it takes on a new dimension. Christ is manifest in new clarity, with strength, with power, with might. No disease is able to resist the ministry of Christ in me. Every man that I teach, they understand. My teaching ministry comes abroad to all men. My evangelistic ministry is affecting lives like never before. Christ is magnified true and true. Christ is magnified true and true. In my ministry, in praying, I affect lives. I keep affecting lives. I express more and more of that divine ability walking through me. Walking through me. Walking through me. In all that I do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is glorified. He is glorified. He is glorified. He is glorified. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise.